title of my message this morning is The Missing Word. We're going to get into that in just a moment. Just want to let you know, speaking of school, staff, teachers, please don't run off. We're going to pray for everyone connected with schools this morning at the end of the service. So don't run off. And also, speaking of learning, if you're interested in learning more about the Word of God through some formal, nationally recognized Bible study, we've got two information sessions, one after this morning's service, one after next week's service. It's going to be in the faith room pretty much immediately after the service closes. We offer a certificate for in Christian ministry and theology. You can come along and hear all about that. You can do that formally and get all the assessments done, or you can just come along and learn without doing all the assessments. Either option's available to you. We have people signing up from Bowen this year. I did an information night with the Bowen Church earlier this week, and they've got four or five young adults. I was excited when I saw how young the learners were in Bowen and that are interested in signing up. And I want to encourage you, particularly young people, but anyone, come and learn the Word of God. You know, there's no excuse for us to be biblically illiterate, or I don't know what else you could have that's more important in your life than knowing Christ and the Word of God. So come and dedicate one night a week during school terms to learning the Word of God with us. Information straight after the service. All right, here we go. That's enough of that. The missing word. My foundational verse this morning is a very famous verse, Philippians 4 verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's one of the scriptures I'm thankful is in the Bible. You know, there are certain verses that you just like, oh, that is such a good verse. I'm so thankful it's there. There are other verses I say to the Lord, why did you put that one in? You know, when someone wrongs you, go and forget, why is that one in there? You know, you could have skipped that one, but I'm glad that this one is in the Word of God, because I don't know about you, but every now and then I have needs. Does anybody else have needs? Yes. They occupy a lot of our time. They occupy a lot of our headspace. You get up in the morning, you go to sleep at night. There are things on your mind, things that you need. You know, there are wants, but there's also needs that we have. And I'm so thankful that there's a verse in there that says, my God shall supply all need according to his riches. And I'm not the first preacher to make this point. Many preachers have made this point, but I'm going to make it just as a foundational beginning this morning. It says it applies, he supplies your needs according to his riches. Isn't that good? He doesn't supply my needs according to my riches. He doesn't supply my needs according to my behavior. Doesn't supply my needs according to, you know, my bank account balance or the type of employment that I have. He supplies my needs according to his riches. Did you know God is rich? Are you aware of how rich he is? He is filthy rich, like righteously filthy rich. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Just one cow, that's gonna set you back a lot in Australia these days. But he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is infinitely, abundantly rich, and he supplies our needs according to his riches. Sometimes we're so thankful just to have enough, just to get by. God, if you could just give me this little thing. I don't need all that. Lord, but he can't help himself because he's an oversupplier. He's like generous to a fault. That's the kind of God we serve. It's his nature. Abundance is his nature. We see it in scripture and we see it in creation. I've got some little pictures up there today. I went really excited on Canva this week. Wow. Well, Billy's having a heart attack. Well, that's graphic. That's beautiful, Opilly. That's, yeah. We see the nature of God in creation. The Bible tells us that. You know, they tell us, I've got the stars up there. Look up in the sky, can you count all the stars? Like if I was creating a world and I was in charge of creating the sky, I'd chuck a couple of stars up there. That's all, you know, just a few. But the scientists tell us that the universe is constantly expanding. And I'm thinking, it's expanding into what? It's just like God is just growing. He's just infinitely like, you know, you could travel for eternity and you're not going to reach the end. This is the nature of God. This is how filthy rich he is. I look at the number of fish in the sea. Again, if I'm in charge of creating the fish, I'm creating a couple of different, my imagination has run out after about three fish. I've got the one from Nemo, the other one from Nemo, and a shark. That's all you need. But there is 1,000 billion types and different fish. They say you go down to the bottom and they're still finding new types of weird creatures and fish because this is how he is. I'm populating a world. I'm thinking we only need a few people. We only need a couple. Let's create man in our image. But God is, he's basically created an infinite amount of people with the way he's set it up. It's going to continue to grow and grow. This is who he is. His sons and daughters will just, there'll be more and more and more and more. That there's not going to reach a point where God says, I think I've got enough now. It's just not his nature. He's a God of abundance. We see it in scripture. When he feeds the 5,000 with a few loaves and two fish, the Bible says he didn't just give everyone a little taste to get them through, you know, tide you over. My kids come home from school. They raid the pantry. What are you doing? You're going to ruin your dinner. All right. You can have, you know, one cracker to share. That's how I am. Yes, that's it. That's all you're getting. But the Bible says they all had their fill and there's 12 baskets left over. That's just his nature. Like, of course there's going to be leftovers. We talk about water into wine. You know, he fills those vats and they said it's the best wine, the most expensive wine, the most incredible wine. He doesn't just, oh, they need some wine. We'll just get some cheap whatever. No, that's not God's nature. He creates the best wine. And I've got cows there. I don't know why I had cows there now. What are we laughing at? This is cows. This is why I had cows there. Go and look at the patriarchs. Go and look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know what the Bible says about Abraham? Exceedingly rich. Not just a little bit rich. Extremely rich. In fact, him and Lot started fighting because they became so prosperous the land couldn't even support. They had to split up because, you know, God takes his people and he's just the kind of God that's like, oh, Abraham doesn't need just a cow. Let's make him ridiculously rich. This is God. He's just an over supplier. So when he supplies my needs, I'm here with my little bit of faith saying, God, I just need this. If you could. And I'm like, I'm stretching my faith just to believe for these little things. And he's up there going, well, I have so much. Like, that's not a big deal for me to do that for you. And normally when I receive from him, it's an oversupply. You know, Brian Houston used to preach all the time, says, we should give and minister out of the overflow. You know, God gives you what you need, but if you only pray for what you need, how are you ever going to help anyone else? He actually gives you more than you need so you have enough for you and you minister out of the overflow, if you know what I'm saying. He's a God of abundance, a God of overflow, of too much. However, the title of my message was The Missing Word. If we go back to that first scripture, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's a word missing from that verse. Now, you excellent biblical scholars who've done a Cert 4 in Christian ministry and theology at Discipleship Academy, you already know, I'm sure, what word is missing. Oh, Pastor Rob, how good is he? How good is Pastor Rob? It's like he's been doing this for a couple of years. The word and my God shall supply all your need. That word and, just a little word, but you know, it's like a connecting word, isn't it? Is it a conjunction, English teachers, is that what we call it? That's what I'm calling it. It's a connecting word, which means something has been written before this verse, and this verse does not exist in a vacuum. It's not an independent thought. We go around quoting it like it's an independent thought. That's what we do. We do that with scripture all the time. I'm not against memory verses, but just remember, memory verses do not exist in a vacuum. They exist in a context. So when you see a word like and, or therefore, or after this, or the next day, go back and read what happened the previous day. Go back and read what happened before this. And let's do that together this morning. I have some verses on the screen. Let's read what Paul is writing earlier in Philippians. He says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." That's upsetting. No church shared with me regarding giving and receiving, but you only. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from that person the things sent from you. A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What is the point Paul is making? He's saying, when I was in need, you supplied. You gave. Other people didn't give, but you gave. And now I'm fully supplied. And God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You see, God has so much to give, but there is a pattern in Scripture. There is a way it works. He has so much, yet sometimes I feel I have so little. Why is this the case? My Heavenly Father is filthy rich, yet sometimes I feel filthy poor. I don't have enough. Why is this the case? If he's supplying all my need according to his riches, why am I struggling to make ends meet? Why are things not working out for me like they should? Well, the end is that before all this happened, these Philippians were supplying Paul's need. They were giving. They were giving. And the pattern in Scripture is best summed up in Matthew 6, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Again, the context of that verse, do not worry about what you eat. Do not worry about what you're going to wear. Do not worry about what you're going to drink, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That is the pattern all throughout Scripture. You build his house, he build yours. You worship, you lift him up, he'll lift you up. It's the way it goes. You know, a funny story about Peter and the temple tax. And Jesus says, you know, go and cast your line and there'll be a fish. And in its mouth will be this 4-drachma coin. He says, then you'll be able to pay my tax and yours. He didn't say you can pay your tax and mine. Jesus put his own name first. You pay my tax and yours. You build my house and you build yours. You meet the needs of others, your needs will be met. The Bible says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Even in Elijah with that widow, the widow who's got nothing, is about to die. What does Elijah say? Make me something first and then you'll be fine. Go and read the story. It's not, hey, make sure you look after your own needs and I'll have what's left over. No, I know you think you've got nothing. Make me something first. And then your cup will overflow. And why does God do it like that? Why? I'll tell you why. Because we only receive from God by faith. That's the only way to receive. God doesn't actually respond to need, he responds to faith. The world is full of needs. Have you noticed that? I have needs all the time. His modus operandi, his pattern, is he's looking for faith. He has riches, I have needs. The way his riches supply my needs is by faith. Yes? Faith is the bridge that connects his riches to my need. And the only way faith is activated is through action. You hearing what I'm saying? Faith is activated by action. That's why he says, you gave and my God will supply your needs. That's why giving is so important. Giving is an action, an expression of faith. The truth is, you can worry about your need or God can worry about your need. It's your choice. The way you get him to worry about your need is you give. And you're putting the ball in his court. Yeah? When you hold on, you're saying, I'll supply my need. I'll fix it. I'll look after it. I'll worry about it. I'll stress about it. It's in your court. But when you give, no, God, I'm casting my cares upon you with this action. I'm activating faith with this action. I can see my need. It's chasing me. Here, you take care of it. I'll seek first your kingdom and you supply my need. You can worry or he can worry. The only way we transfer the worry is with an act of faith. And that's why it has to be generosity. That's why it has to be giving. That's why it has to be serving. That's why it has to be an outward motion. I like to listen to economic podcasts and things like that. I came across the best thought. It's such a true thought. One of them said this recently. He said, you know, we lie to each other with our lips all the time, but we tell the truth with our money. Think about that. We lie with our words, we tell the truth with our money. That's why free market capitalism is the best kind of system we've ever created that creates the most wealth. Because in free market capitalism, we tell the truth to each other with our money. Doesn't matter. A lot of people tell me that, oh, they'd love to read my book, that'd be great, that'd be awesome. I don't believe any of it until money is exchanged, you know what I'm saying? That's the truth. We say, this is so important to me. Yes, I value this so much. No, it doesn't matter what you say. We know what you value by where our money goes. And in a free market, people get truth told to them all the time by how much money is coming in for their service. It doesn't matter what they say, what you say about a service, if you're not willing to pay for it, you don't value it. And so we tell the truth to each other with our money. That's why free markets are important. It allows us to keep telling the truth to each other. And we start to go, okay, I'll stop providing that service. Nobody wants it. They seem to like this service. I'll provide that. You hear what I'm saying? Money is the only way we tell the truth to one another. It is the same in every area of life. My kids come home, you know, and say, Dad, can we order out tonight? Almost every day, you know, this is the question. After church today, I guarantee you at least 5 of my 4 children will come up to me. Dad, can we get takeout for lunch today? All right, I say this to them. I say, we can't afford it. Has anyone ever parent use that, you know? We can't afford it. The truth is, I do have some money there for some hot chips if we need it, right? It's there. I say we can't afford it. The truth is, I've chosen to spend the money somewhere else, right? I value something else more. I'm telling a lie when I say I can't afford it. It's just, you know, I could say I can't afford this, but really, I tell the truth with my money. We'll end up getting chips, okay? We tell lies with our mouth all the time. We tell the truth with our money. You can say all you want about how much faith you have in the Lord. You can say it about how he's rich and he supplies all my needs. And you can quote the verse till your cow comes home. The truth is, you'll tell the truth with your money. You'll tell the truth with your generosity. You'll tell the truth with your giving. That's why it's so important to be a giver, to be generous, to seek first the kingdom of God with my time, with my resources, with my finance, because it doesn't matter how loud I'm singing or all those things. I mean, I love to sing. I'm a Pentecostal. All that, you know, I can dance and do cartwheels, but I'm telling the truth with my finance. This is how much I believe. This is how much I trust. And I want to tell you this morning, I need to apologize on behalf of a lot of preachers. There's been a big backlash in the world about, you don't want to be known as one of them prosperity preachers. You know those prosperity preachers, ugh. You don't want, and let's be honest, there have been some weird people out there saying weird things about money for a long time. So I'm not saying, let's just get on all the bandwagons out there. But what's happened is preachers have become hesitant. They've become reticent to speak about it because they don't want to be known as one of those prosperity preachers. Oh, you don't want to be one of them. Well, I'm not afraid to be called whatever. I actually made a New Year's resolution. I want less friends this year. That's not true. So I decided I'd preach about money the first time I can. See if I can get less Facebook friends or whatever. Hey, here's Paul's motivation in speaking to them about this. He says, I don't seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. When I preach on generosity, I'm going to financially benefit nil. I don't get a wage from the church. We need to have a meeting, Pastor Rob. No, I don't get, I get zero. I have access to the accounts. I don't know what anybody's giving. I don't know how many children you're sponsoring in Africa. I don't know what other causes. I don't know how you handle your, I know my kids that live under my roof. That's all I know. And I don't care about the gift. What I seek is the fruit that abounds to your account. I know you have needs. I know you have vision. I know you have dreams. I know sometimes you're looking at what you've got and it's not enough and you're worried about these things. It's consuming your things because I'm like you. We're all the same. I seek the fruit that abounds to your account, and the fruit comes by faith, and faith is action. And we're telling the truth with our money. One final verse this morning. I might get the worship team to come on up. You know, when you have little, it actually matters more, I think. When you have little, preachers have done this disservice in the past. You know, just give what you can afford. Just be generous what you can afford. Just hold back until you've got more, whatever. We're too afraid of offending people. But Jesus is different to you and I. You know, you'll hear a preacher say, it doesn't matter how much you give. I'm going to squash that. Listen to this one, Jesus at the temple. He says, he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of you. For all of these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. It doesn't matter how much you give. Really? Really? And we use this little mites. You know, you might only have a little bit. It doesn't matter how much you give. Yeah, it doesn't matter in comparison to other people. That's what he's saying. It doesn't matter in comparison to other people. But how much did this lady put in? Don't say too much. The Bible says she put in all the livelihood that she had. How does Jesus respond to that? Does she call her back? No, you need this more than me. What are you doing? You've got bills to pay. You don't even have enough eat. You know, Jesus doesn't chase after her and give it back. What does Jesus do? He claps. He applauds her. You know, when you're looking for a job, that's the time to be more generous. When you have bills to pay, that's the time to be generous. When you're dreaming of that promotion, or when you're believing for a house, when your car's broken down, when you just get that power bill, whatever it is, that's the time to be generous. We think of the boy with the five loaves and the two fish, and again we say things, oh, that's such a little gift, was able to do so much. It's true, but again, how much did the boy give? Everything. That's his entire lunch. When he gave that gift to Jesus, he was expecting not to eat that day. He wasn't expecting the miracle that came. True? He wasn't just saying, hey, Jesus, feed everybody with this. He was saying, I don't know what you can do with this, but you can have it. He was expecting to go hungry just for someone else more needy than him to have that. I've been in places of lack many times. We were a single income family for more than half the time we've been married, just about, because my wife wanted to stay home with the children, and I was fully supportive of that. That was her dream, to be a stay-at-home mum, single income family. The one income we did have for many years, I was working at an extremely rich, high-paying job at Pizza Hut. casual. And I've been there. We would, we'd be at the op shops. We'd be here, we'd be there, we'd be, looking, borrowing things and borrowing that, and Facebook Marketplace, we were all those things and still are all those things. Facebook Marketplace, how good. It's just, praise the Lord. We've been there, but I'm so thankful that I married a woman of faith. I married a woman of principle who would not let me, even when I said, darling, do you want to stay married? Yes, darling. Who would not let me compromise on seeking first the kingdom of God. Yeah? On meeting the needs of others, on serving, on doing these things. You know, it's not mine, it's his. Whatever he wants to do with it, he does. Whenever there's a faith offering, whenever there's a breakthrough offering, whenever there's a missions project, together, God first. And I tell you, it is so releasing to have him worry about our needs. It is so releasing to be able to go to sleep at night, not knowing how the answer's gonna come, but knowing that it's not my problem. You can sleep better at night. You can wake up in the morning with the weight off your shoulders, because you know you haven't just said you believe in God, you've acted in faith. You've done what he's asked you to do, and you've given, you've been generous, all those things. Hey, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. He is rich. He has too much. For him to oversupply your needs is not a big deal. For him, the bridge is faith. And the bridge is and. Maybe you've been that person and you're thinking, what I do is I get to the end of the week, whatever's left, I might not. Change your attitude. Seek first. Be systematic, whatever it is, to say, this is for you. I'm not compromising on that. No matter what else happens, this is for you. And that goes first. And all these things we added unto you. It's the only part of Scripture where God says, test me. Yeah? Why don't you run yourself a little test for the next 3 months and seek first the kingdom and see what happens?